I'd like to call to order this regularly scheduled Madison Plains Board of Education meeting. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zinkus?
Here.
Mr. Buzz?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Coburn? Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And so, thank you, Mr. President. For our board work session this evening, we have a facilities presentation from Fanning and Howey Architectural Firm. The gentleman who is here to do the presentation is Mr. Dan Oprimba. And we have the presentation tonight because we have done a facilities assessment within the district. As we have gone through the year this year, and our Facilities and Grounds Committee has met, there has been conversation there about the challenges that we continue to face with our facilities and grounds. And as we held those meetings and conversations began to evolve, it was determined that we thought it would be a good idea for us to be able to get a big picture view of just where we're at exactly. And so we had conversation then with Mr. Oprimba. He was recommended to me by a reputable source. So we had a conversation with him, and we have asked him and his firm to do this. And so he is here tonight to report out on the findings from the facilities assessment that was conducted this spring.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Get right into this here. Give you a little bit of background. The OFCC did an assessment of your facilities back in 2009. And what you're seeing there is a summary of their findings. Again, 2009, they applied to 2019 cost set. So that means nothing more than they didn't change any of the ratings. And I know it's hard to see the ratings, but virtually every system there, every category of roofing and heating and ventilation, electrical system, most of those are a 3. And that 3 means they have recommended a full replacement. Okay. So what we did is we went through just to see, is there anything missed? Is there anything that's been done where there should be a credit applied? So kind of looked at it both ways. But the point that I'm trying to make here is in 2009, they had recommended the current ratings. They updated the cost sets, so it's 2019 numbers to make it relevant. So the total of their recommendations is almost $16 million on the high school. Okay, and we often do, as does the state, but we take a look at what we refer to as a renovate to replace ratio. So we look at this full renovation to the cost of what would it be to build new. It's only, a logical thing to do to compare that. And generally speaking, when you hit 2/3, it's time to start thinking about doing a replacement. So you're at 75.3%.
Thank you.
So this next slide, in addition to what they found, we didn't really find that much more. Replace gym floor, and you see a price tag there based on, anytime we put budget figures in here, almost exclusively, we are using their cost sets. So it's a standardized state cost set. It's not a number we come up with. So based off of the square footage and their cost set, $263,000 to replace the gym floor. Loose furnishings, they didn't put in the entire allocation for loose furnishings, and we just believe that if you're looking at modernizing facilities, one of the best ways, one of the biggest bangs for the buck, so to speak, is in loose furnishings, because you can just do so much to make facilities more student-centered as opposed to teacher-centered. And so we upped that loose furnishings. There were some smaller categories in there that I didn't split out, such as painting lockers and adding fencing across the site. You see that figure there, 105. So we're at 16.6, and that changes the renovate to replace ratio just slightly, but it's 78, pushing 79%. And then in red print there, you'll see reprogramming. We did not include reprogramming for basic reason that we're not aware of where the district wants to go with kind of that shift in student-centered learning environment that so many districts are doing. So we put in just that note that said reprogramming is got to be considered. Reprogramming is going in and basically reconfiguring from the very traditional double-loaded corridors, much like you see in all four buildings, to accommodate kids the way they learn today, okay? Which might be some collaboration areas, maybe some small tutor spaces, just a whole variety of different kinds of spaces. Again, that's not included, but we're guessing by the time you do include some dollars for reprogramming, you're easily up into the 80s, maybe pushing 90% the cost of new.
And Mr. Brembo, if you don't mind, if I can speak to that just for a minute too. Our schools have been set up, and when I say our schools, the nation's schools, have been set up largely the same way for several decades. And without getting into a long speech about educational philosophy, students have largely, for a long time, have sat in straight rows in classrooms. Teachers have largely been the sage on the stage, and the students have been the recipient of that learning. It's been the same curriculum, basically, for everybody, the same lesson for everybody, no differentiation, no uniqueness. And so today, as our educational environment in the country evolves, and as educational research evolves, and we have seen quite a bit of that in the last 10 to 15 years, schools are beginning to understand that students may actually learn better if they are heavily engaged in inquiry learning or collaborative learning. And so to do that, the spaces often look different. And so that is what Mr. Obrinba is referring to in terms of reprogramming. We could reconfigure spaces, which would potentially mean maybe knocking down some walls, getting some different furniture, setting up the environment so that it is more conducive to those kinds of learning situations. And so just as, and you'll see that on each slide for each building so that you understand that's what he is referring to when he talks about that. Thank you, Mr. Brunbaugh.
Sure.
I apologize.
Any questions? Yeah, thank you. That was helpful. Any questions on the high school? I know I didn't go into a tremendous amount of detail, but we're looking at old mechanical systems, a foam roof that was added at some point, but it's problematic, that needs to be replaced. Electrical upgrades. It's pretty much all the systems are there, and all systems were evaluated. Yeah, sewage treatment facility, just all the different categories are included. Any questions on this before I move on? Okay, if you notice me scrambling around right before the meeting started, I looked up here, I was looking at the presentation one more time, and there was a graphic that was wrong. And I didn't want to leave it that way, so I scrambled around and changed the graphic. And I think part of the confusion here, not that I want to lay blame any place, but this is your intermediate building. If you look really closely, it says middle school in the OFCC assessment. And I think that's where I got a little twisted around. So your intermediate school was once a middle school, as I understand. And so this reference to middle school from OFCC is your intermediate. Once again, this was prepared in 2009. They applied the 2019 cost sets. You're looking at 10.6, almost 10.7. your renovate to replace ratio is pushing 82%. We found a few more things. Here's a credit. About 75% of the windows have been replaced, and they've got a full replacement. So we back that number down. You see the minus figure there on the very first line item. There's a lot of masonry repair in the report, but we felt there were some areas, one in particular in the girls' locker room in the corner of the building, that just was a very significant crack, and we put an allowance in for that. The EFIS is the cement plaster or stucco looking material. That is failing to the point of delamination, about 4,500 square feet of that, so we put some dollars in to take care of that. Lockers we felt needed to be replaced. The sewage treatment number was incorrect. They didn't have the total number of students quantified. So we increased that, increased the loose furnishings, as I mentioned before, and then there's a small item there, removing a transformer. So the new cost, as we see it, with the contingencies and soft costs that are automatic multipliers, is 10.8. So now you're looking at almost 83% of the cost of new. And again, if we were to do something with reprogramming, that's going to drive that number higher, because there's no money in there to move walls around and kind of reconfigure space to accommodate modern learning. Now, the junior high, which are the modulars, one set of modulars, there was no assessment for that. So we went through and we just captured a few things. The air conditioning units are mini splits, and they don't bring in outside air, which does not comply with today's code. They make the space comfortable, but they're not bringing in outside air. So they're starting to fail. So we put a number in there to replace the air conditioning units. The roofs need to be replaced. Lockers need to be replaced. Same sort of thing with loose furnishings. We put technology throughout. Technology was captured in the OFCC study for the other two buildings. So the renovate to replace ratio is only 18%. They're newer structures, but I can't really say, as an architect, I can't really see that. Modulars are never considered to be a long-term solution. Okay, they're just kind of to help you get through a period. Okay, so when you compare that to your brick and mortar and such, it's not something I'd recommend to keep up over a long period of time. Again, did not put reprogramming in there. Same sort of thing at the elementary, the building we're in right here. Same thing with air conditioning and roofing. Same thing with loose furnishings and technology. So we're just at a 15% there. But again, not a long-term building. So any questions on the assessment and our updates to that assessment? Okay. Do you want to get into?
Yeah, I think there is an opportunity, if we would like to consider, once we have an opportunity to digest this ourselves, I think there's an opportunity for us to maybe go out and have some conversation with our school district communities. Ultimately, the schools do belong to them, and I think it would be important, once we have a chance to digest this, to be able to share with them what the condition of the schools is, because unless they're here on a regular basis and working in them and have a good working knowledge, they may not know exactly what is happening. I am confident that over the last 10 years, the district has made efforts to try to do everything that they can to sustain the facilities that we have, and have worked to be good stewards in that regard. But the fact of the matter is, our facilities are aging. And as that happens, more and more issues begin to occur. There are things that systems that we have that are so old at this point that getting parts for them is quite difficult, and it is expensive, if even possible. And so I believe that this is an area that we need to take a look at. And once, as I've said, once we have an opportunity to look at this information ourselves a little bit and think about it. I think the possibility of going out and having some conversations with the community would be a good idea so that they can make a decision about what they would like to do with their schools. And so along those lines, I've asked Mr. Obrenba just to give us a little bit of a snapshot of what some community engagement might look like. So if you would like to share some.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. And it is essential to get some kind of engagement process going because at the end of the day, the community does own the facilities. The community needs to know what kind of challenges and opportunities there may be. You know, the opportunities, I would just say, a better environment for teaching. Spaces where kids are more excited to come in and get more engaged. So we talk, and I shared this in the retreat, this particular image, about a journey from here to there. And in this journey, you know, we're trying to define what there is. You know, is it fixing up current facilities? Is it replacing facilities? Either way, how do we define that? So the when we back down to the left-hand side, the, you know, understanding the here, we're in this collection mode. And so we've spent quite a bit of time understanding the facilities. Todd has done a nice job of helping us understand enrollment projections. I'll pop over to this for just a minute. So yeah, you can check, you know, one of the categories, but enrollment projections, educational vision. How do we teach today? Do we have educators? Yeah, we do, a bunch of educators. How do we teach today? How would we want to teach in the future? What does that look like? And then how do the facilities either get in the way or support that? So if they're getting in the way, how do we fix that? So that's part of the process of educational visioning. But certainly we need to understand the Board of Education goals. We need to understand site conditions, whatever opportunities and challenges. So back to this, you know, it's after we complete the collection of all the raw data, then we start connecting with the community. And so just, and then as we connect and get their input, we create solutions, come back and compare notes back and forth until we actually settle in on something that really fits the bill, so to speak, and then we feel that we can complete with confidence. So how do we connect with the community? One of the things we suggest is developing a facilities core committee, a small group, 6-8 people, that committee helps develop a larger group of 30, 50 people, something along those lines. And we think through the course of about 6 meetings, 6 facilities advisory committees, and 2 community meetings, we can pretty much settle in on what is a good master plan for the district. The small advisory group, 6 to 8 people, as I mentioned, who's usually on that? Superintendent, of course, 1 or 2 board members, the facilities director, treasurer, 1 or 2 community leaders. I think the community leaders helps with the transparency of things. You're defining goals. What else is that small group, the core group, doing? They are an advisory group, kind of a sounding board. They help define those goals, timelines, things of that nature. But then they're also instrumental in defining that next group. So 25, 50 people, depending on the district, depending on your comfort level. Who should be in that? Administrators, board members, teachers, community leaders, business leaders. The caution on the last bullet, less than 50% from the district. We don't want to look like it's, you know, just all about the staff and their conditions. So I'm going to spread that out a little bit. So we've got more detail we can share that talks about the, you know, what happens in those meetings and this sort of thing. But again, this is just kind of an overview of a process to kind of get the message out. This is what we're dealing with. Where do we go from here?
And if the board would like, I can begin work on gathering some information in more detail about what that community engagement process would look like. So if the board would like me to do that, I would be happy to.
Yeah, I think definitely why we
had to do what he did here is to get us information so we can take it to the people. We're human. We've got our personal feelings of what we want to see happen, but you're exactly right that it's what the community is comfortable with, what our community wants to support, and all we can do is give them the information and kind of get that feedback and go from there. So it's important that we're not predetermining what we're going to do. We
Correct.
Really want to get community input, and that's where I hope we get community input. Sometimes it's hard. We host things and we don't get a lot of turnout, but I think that's kind of the key, how we can figure out to get the true cross-section of our community to give us their thoughts and really get a feel for what our community wants. I appreciate the kind of a framework to try to go about doing that. That's helpful.
Yeah, it's important to create a sense of ownership within the community, that, mm-hmm. you know, that they have a say in the direction, because at the end of the day, you're going to ask them for support, right? So as you do the process, you have to be really open to accepting the direction that they're willing to support. So if they're saying, we're not going to do anything, just keep fixing up your buildings, you got to live with that. If they say, no, it's time, you know, they start looking around at their neighbors, and all the neighbors have newer facilities, and kids are all excited about that, but you know, you're kind of in 60s, 70s structures.
Right.
Maybe it's time. But again, get enough people involved, and they'll help you figure out the, you know, the direction that you need to go.
Thank you, Mr. Brenbaum. I appreciate
Great.
It tremendously.
Thank you.
Were there any questions before he leaves?
No.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Whatever you would like to do. What time is it?
6:36.
We can.
I feel more comfortable doing it. Just for you that are waiting, we're going to just take a break until 7, and then we'll basically reconvene the meeting. No action will be taken until 7 o'clock.
Say something.
All right.
That's what I do.
All right. We're going to go back on the record now. I appreciate your guys' patience. So just basically coming off of that break, we're going back into board work session. And I'll start by saying I have an announcement. I received an email resignation letter from one of our board members, Corey Coburn, and I'm just going to read the email that he sent. Little did I know that when I threw my hat in the ring for school board in August of 2017, would I truly enjoy being a part of such a wonderful organization. As a resident, I'm proud to have played a small part in progressing the district along to better days. The joy you get from helping kids to better their self is rewarding in several elements. As Shannon Alder once said, there comes a time in your life when you have to choose to turn the page, write another book, or simply close it. Now is the time to turn the page to start a new chapter. With personal and professional challenges requiring more of my time away from the district, it is time for me to step aside for someone else. There's so much more to being a good board member than showing up once a month for a meeting, and if you can't give 100% of what's needed, then it's appropriate to find someone who can serve our students and residents proudly. It is with full regret that I must submit my resignation, effective Sunday, June 16, 2019. I appreciate the 983 residents who voted for me and believed in my mission to progress the district along to better days. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to continuing the mission of seeking better days for our district as a steadfast resident supporter. Respectfully submitted, Corey Coburn. I just personally want to say I appreciate his service to the district, and appreciate all he did for Madison Plains. All right, so that just leads us to our next step, is the process of appointing a replacement for Corey. Superintendent Issa, if you could kind of touch on the process and kind of the time frames that we have to work with as far as making that appointment.
I can. We obviously post the position as early as tomorrow. And then we have, from the date of Mr. Coburn's resignation, we are not allowed to appoint anybody for 10 days. However, state guidelines are that we have to have somebody in place by day 30. So somewhere in there between day 11 and day 30, we have to appoint somebody. There are absolutely, there really are no rules, regulations, procedures, or processes that the state outlines in terms of how we go about replacing a board member. Some of the ways that I know the districts have gone about doing it is simply by collecting resumes and then appointing the person that they feel, the board feels would be best. There are some districts who have collected resumes and applications and then gone through an interview process to select somebody. What is important, though, is that we have that process completed by day 30, which would be by July 16th, because if not, then the decision about who will serve on our board would go to the Madison County Court. And I believe Judge Brown, I believe, is the one who would then make that decision. But it is one of the Madison County Courts that would make the decision. So my recommendation, no matter what the board chooses, is that we have the meeting to appoint the new board member prior to July 16th, because Mr. Mustein does need to take some information to the Board of Elections. And I guess in my mind, just to make assurances double sure, I would like to be able to have him do that either on or before July 16th. So my recommendation is that the board would convene before then to make the appointment, which will mean a special meeting, because our next regularly scheduled meeting in July is July 23rd. So it will not be before the 16th. And so whatever process the board chooses, that is entirely up to you.
So that's what I was hoping, to have discussion between us just to see what the consensus is for how we'd like to do it. I think really there's kind of two options. Do we just get the resumes in and review them and make a decision off of that, or do we want to do interviews?
Interviews.
And that's how we did it last time when Tula was selected. That's what I'm personally most comfortable with doing. Now, it gets a little tricky. We're going to look at our calendar availability here in a little bit, so that adds an extra meeting, right? So we'll have a time frame where we'll have the basically open to submit your application/resume, and then we'll have a time where we get together and review them, and then we'll have a time where we do the interview, and then we'll have the meeting where we actually appoint the person. So
I guess I would think that we would get the resumes and then we kind of winnow it down to the people we want to interview.
Top three to five.
Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
So do we post it? How do we communicate if receiving resumes?
I would think post and probably in the newspaper that we are seeking.
Right. The plan is part of the press release related to tonight's meeting. Part of it is to say the resignations happen and we're going through the process, and anybody, district resident over 18 years of age, is free to submit an application/resume, which will then direct them to the website to get more information exactly what they need to do. So that's kind of the process that I was envisioning.
If you would like, I can OSBA sent a template for a specific press release about this in itself. The press release that I have written for tonight covers a number of things in the meeting, but we could get a little bit more specific with a specific press release as well.
Okay, I can just reference the couple sentences that you're going to have as far as related. Okay. That was also mentioned that you could go to the website to get more information. That's
very
good. Referencing.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate the clarification.
So
Mr. Eisel put together a nice sheet here. This is just kind of roughly based on the availability that we're aware of, at least at this time. So I guess the first question is, how long are we going to leave it open as far as for people to submit their resumes and applications? And that'll back us up to the first meeting that we're going to have.
Well, I kind of think through the 26th, and then we could meet on the 27th.
Oh, I would say through the 25th.
Okay.
That's a week from now.
Mm-hmm. To 1 week.
The posting will go up tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, the 26th maybe.
So we could meet the 27th and review the resumes, right?
Yeah.
And then, just a real quick glance, right? And then come back for interviews. Next available date is July 9th.
That would work as far as selecting the person, but we've got to, that's the interview night. We're going to have another meeting to actually appoint them, right?
Well, Is that before the Todd turns in information?
As long as we get the information submitted by July 16th.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically we
have.
I think July 9th has to be our meeting where we
appoint
the person.
Well,
we do the interviews and select the person. I guess we could the same night do the
appointment.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, there's no reason we couldn't.
We just have to advertise the meeting time, right?
Come out. And we'll do the interviews in executive session. That's approved under state law. And then we would do our deliberation under in executive session as well. And then we'd come out and we would vote on the replacement.
So that's we did interviews from, you know, we could do 5 to 7 or something like that if we could. Our schedule is, I know we could have a meeting.
About that week, so I can do it.
Oh.
Anytime.
Is that fair week?
Yes.
Oh, that's fair week too.
That part, I don't know.
I don't think they have to.
What's the question?
Actually, I'm
trying to remember when you were sworn in. If you have to be sworn in within that 30 days and then delivered to the Board of Elections.
I'm sorry. I'm going to throw a wrench into all this. I said the 10th through the 13th, but I'm traveling on the 9th for work. I apologize.
So the 9th is not available.
The 8th, no.
But if I'm understanding this sheet, if somebody's initials are on there, they're not available.
Correct. We only had one day, Mark.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay.
Well, the other thing to consider is you need three of you to be able to vote in the affirmative for the appointee.
Yes.
You need three of you to vote in the affirmative to appoint the new appointee. So it is possible if you wanted to do interviews on July 9th, if you wanted to, you could read resumes on June 27th. You could do interviews on July 9th. And then a meeting could be held if everybody was in agreement of who the three remaining members were. If everyone was in agreement, we could hold a meeting just after July 9th, one of, you know, either the 10th or the 11th. But I could
participate telephonically.
Yeah, that was my question. If we just do it all on the 9th, because I'm sure you'd want to be present for the interviews. I certainly would want to be. So if Mark could participate in a conference call, I would think that would be acceptable. And
sure.
Just stick with the 9th.
Right. Obviously, I can't vote if it's telephonically, but that's fine. Right.
We just have to make sure that the three of us are present.
Yeah.
And we're all available the 9th. If Mark can participate.
I'll be available in the evening to
to
telephonically participate in the interviews.
Do you know the time? We could set that to 27.
Yes. But we could do 5 to 7 in theory if we do the top 3 to 5 people, right?
Right.
We have our interviews, but we could do that.
Right.
Yep.
And then meeting at 7.
Right.
Yep.
Position, right? Okay.
Cool.
All right, how about that?
Yeah.
So we meet on the 27th to review resumes.
What time?
And then we set the schedule for July 9th, right?
Right.
Mark, on the 27th, I mean, I could make it any time on the 27th. When would you be?
6 o'clock at the earliest.
Anybody else?
6 o'clock
on
27. Yeah, I can be here.
And I'm very good with it. And maybe I can just remember I'm unavailable that day, but I can maybe review things remotely.
Okay.
So.
Let's see.
So on the 27th.
I can.
Gotcha.
I can play doorman.
Thank you.
So on the 27th, we meet at 6 o'clock in here.
Yeah.
And
that will be all executive session.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's think about 5 o'clock.
Open and go in.
Open and right.
Let's think about 5 o'clock on the 9th. Mark, you'll let us know.
On the 9th?
Yeah.
That should work.
If that's too early.
I'll let you know. I'm trying to think. That should be good. 5 o'clock.
And then I guess one of the questions that I would have. Mr. Mustine, it is my impression that you do the swearing in.
Yes.
Do the other board members need to be here for that?
No.
I just didn't know if that needed to occur in a board meeting.
Well, the candidate we select may not be available that evening, so they might not do the swearing in like on a different night.
Well, they're going to come in for an interview, though, correct?
Oh, right. So
Yeah. We'd be asking them to stay around.
Well, if we call them, they could come back,
right,
if they'd be willing to.
They will live in the district.
Right.
If we make the appointment on the 9th, my thinking is just do the swearing in.
Yeah. Right.
I guess we'll just let them know in the
interview. Don't check, make sure that's okay.
But we'll let them
know. Yeah, that was my only concern. Do they have to be sworn in within that 30 days? Or do you just have to appoint within that 30 days? So we can get clarification on that.
If you would get clarification on that.
Because if they don't have to be sworn in within that time, you could technically swear them in before the 23rd's meeting, you know, and then they can participate as a board member at that meeting at that time.
Yeah.
So, which may be the case. So.
If you can clarify that for us.
Get clarification on that.
Yeah, could you have that for us on the 27th?
Right. Yeah, sure.
We're good.
Thank you, guys. That's all for board work session. So now we'll move to section C, public communication. So anybody signed up? So we'll move to section D, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the minutes of the May 14, 2019 regular meeting and the May 28, 2019 special meeting be approved as written.
Second. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
And this evening, we do not have student recognition, nor do we have department reports because we are on summer recess. And along those lines, then, with regard, Mr. President, to committee reports. For some reason, my battery seemed to have died.
I have a microphone over here.
Oh, that's good. Maybe I accidentally hit the button. Maybe that's what it was. But because we're on summer hiatus, or summer recess for school, we do not have student recognition or department reports. And then our board committee reports, I believe because so many people are gone during June and July, we will put our committees on hiatus for June and July, and we will reconvene them in August. The only group that met here recently, and this is, if there was a special need for one of the groups to meet, they could. The one group that did meet was the Communications Committee. They met late last week on a morning meeting, and the purpose for their meeting was to discuss and provide some input. We are looking at doing a website redesign and developing a school app. So that group met to provide some input into what those, into what that would look like. So the communication committee did meet. It was a one-item agenda, and that was what was discussed. So that is all I have at this point in time. I will note too, just in terms of communication, our newsletter is currently at the printer, and we are hoping to get that published here very soon.
Nice.
So, but that is all I have for committee reports this evening.
Now move to section 8H, treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm trying to pull up a couple things here. Cooperate. There we go. Spending plan, real quick. We still look to end the year with over $2 million. We still have June to get through. One thing to point out, it's just to show that we've been consistent. We are currently on our expenditure history. Let me find it. Sorry, 0.3% under where we were this time last year. So we've spent less at this same point in time this year than what we did last year. And then our history then for our expenditures, which I can't help but be just a little bit proud of.
especially since I came here in FY15, our expenditure increases have been 2%, 1%, 2%, 1%. And that entire time, we've managed to take care of our staff and pay for raises and increases in insurance and provide good quality resources to our staff and students. So, and the board's a large part of that, of course, with the budget reduction plan and being able to get where we are because, you know, our revenue challenges that we've had. So we're doing really well from the expenditure standpoint. Our income taxes have started to flow in. They came in better than estimated for this year. Of course, it takes 18 months to full collection, so we still have some time until that occurs. But again, we look to end right on our estimate. The black line is estimated. The green right here is where we're at this point in time. So we're right following with our estimate and should end the year with a relatively small gap between where we ended up last year and where we are this year. Each one of those lines above is a previous year. So you can see if we end up where we expect, that gap will be the smallest it's been in quite some time. So that's a testament to everybody in the district doing what needs to be done to keep operations going at an efficient level.
Well, that's the spending plan, and it's not just you. So
yeah.
It did that. Thank you. So that's the spending plan, and aside from that, the other financial reports you have that are included. So does anybody have any questions on the spending plan or the financial reports? Okay, the next item I have are the transfers, end of year transfers. These are regular transfers that we have, usually have at the end of the year for the most part. The first one there is the board support of the student drug testing fund. So those are when that fund falls short, the board, the general fund makes up the difference so that that fund ends up in the black. So that amount ended up at $2,207.20. And then we have a transfer for an old expenditure for Title I 2017, a grant expenditure amount that the expenditure was made in excess of the grant at the time. So we started the year with a negative balance of $652 in that, not in the grant as a whole, in that fund as a whole, but that grant, that fund special cost center. So $572,970. So this will just bring that in, it's clean up is what it is. That'll bring that back to zero. So the total cost to the general fund for those transfers is $2,859.70. And then we have an amount there that we do to keep the junior high from continually digging deeper into the red for athletics. Typically the junior high doesn't generate the revenue, of course, that the high school does. So we take athletics as a whole, of course, but this helps clean up that $395.02 fund. So that'll be a transfer of $2,500. Because we still have some expenditures coming in here at the end of the year, but that will cover that to bring that back into the black so that athletics has a fresh start every year. But those are the only transfers we have. So does anybody have any questions on the transfers?
No.
Okay. The next item in my report are the amended appropriations. Again, these are to bring our appropriations in line with the board approved five-year forecast that we updated in May, as well as any cleanup at the end of the year if certain expenditures ran above or below estimates. So hopefully you've had a chance to look at that. Not any huge changes to point out. Nothing that wasn't covered in the five-year forecast update. And then the temporary appropriations for next year. This does include everything for the most part, except for student activities and our grant funding, which our grant allocations haven't been awarded yet for next year. As soon as those are, we'll have revised amended appropriations and final appropriations there to start the year that will include all of our grants. But our general fund, you see there's $15,538,182. That is, if you back out the $1 million that we had to have for the tax anticipation note, which again was received and dispersed, it's only that amount there equates to about a 3.8% increase from our appropriations last year, which again is a conservative estimate. It is higher than what
we may end up at, but it is a conservative estimate. The permanent improvement funds have been appropriated for the amount that we receive. We have pretty much dwindled down our accumulated balance in that fund with repairs that we've made to the district. So we've appropriated the full amount for the year, which is approximately $350,000. The PI plan hasn't necessarily been fully developed yet, so what the $350,000 will pay for, but buses are a large part of it. Technology will most likely be a part of it as well, and then our normal repair costs that we have throughout the year, because again, we don't have any capital improvement costs coming out of the general fund for this next year either. We eliminated those in the budget reduction plan, and we did okay with that, so we're going to try and maintain that if possible. So if you have any questions about next year's appropriations. Okay. Those are all of the reports under my report. Next would be your approval.
Thanks, Tom. Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items H6 through H8.
Second. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Pooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Superintendent's report.
Mr. President, I do not have any items for the superintendent's report tonight.
Thank you. So next we'll move to Section J, Policy and Governance.
And so there is a set of policies before you this evening for a second and final reading for approval. There are no changes to these policies from what was approved last month.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance item J2.
Second. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
To move to Section K, business.
Go ahead. Just a number of items before you this evening, so of a variety of natures. Thank you. My apologies.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items K2 through K10.
Second. And I should have done this in advance, I apologize. I'd like to abstain on number 7, section 7, for the volleyball coach.
That's 7. This one, that's on the next one.
Oh, okay. Let me get there when we get there.
When we get personnel. Yes. Okay, I'll pull that up.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now the section.
And just a quick note with regard to personnel, there are a number of personnel items here. Three of them involve full-time staff for next year. And I would just like to point those folks out who are here this evening. We have our new science teacher who is going to be working at the high school next year, Mr. Austin Manson. He is with us this evening. Our new high school assistant principal, Mr. Brock Wysong, is with us as well. And then our new assistant principal at the elementary school, Mr. Jake LeGros, he is with us as well. So we are very pleased that they are here this evening. We are excited about all three of these hires. We feel very good about them, and we are very confident that they're going to do wonderful things for Madison Plains Local School District.
Welcome.
So you pulled the 7 out?
Yeah, I'm just going to do, give me a second, go through 6, and then I can do the
other one. So it'll be L2 to L6.
And L8 to 11.
And L8 to L11, yeah.
All in this motion.
Yeah.
Mr.
2 through 6.
Got it. Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items L2 through L6 and L8 through
11.
L11.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve L7.
Second.
As stated.
Discussion? I'm going to abstain because my sister knows the volleyball coach.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Abstain.
Motion carries 3-0.
Right, now move to section M, donations.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations as listed below. The Burby Family Farm to the cafeteria fund for $40. Two of the Zinnikas to the general fund for the staff lunch and donation, $250. And Corey and Tanya Coburn for the general fund for the staff lunch and donation. Chad Amanda Eisler for $100 to the general fund for staff lunch and donation. $179.11 from Kroger for the elementary principal fund. $2,125 from Harold Goings to the athletic department for Big Brutus hanging dummy football equipment.
Second.
That is. It's fun.
Yeah. It's a tackling dummy that hangs. That hangs up and you can practice form tackling on it.
Wow.
I like to say it every month, but I appreciate all the donations that we get. It's very appreciated. Discussion? Roll call.
Sorry, we're going to have a second.
Okay. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
I believe we have any new items. There's nothing for executive session. Is there? All right. So make sure I say this right. Our next meeting will be a special board meeting on the 27th of June at 6 p.m.
July 23rd. Oh, I'm sorry. Special meeting.
Nice.
Forgive me. Brain cramp.
And then we'll have another special meeting on July 9th at, we set a time for that?
5 o'clock.
At 5 p.m. And then the next regular scheduled meeting is the 23rd of July at 7 p.m. here at the district meeting.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the board adjourn at 7:30 p.m.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yep.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries.